Do you guys remember that ringtone that only people of a certain age could hear? Because once you got older than like 30, you lose all your high end. You remember this, Jeff?
Yeah.
So there was actually a ringtone on like a device?
So kids in school had them on their phones, and they when it went off, they could hear it, but the teacher couldn't because obviously...
What?
It was basically invisible. The audio couldn't be heard by anyone over... Remember all this? Am I hallucinating?
So embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
Isn't that embarrassing?
Well, I heard...
old. Yeah. To do it right in front of your face. You're too old to get this.
You're physically... Your body is so old now.
Right.
And it's not that old, but it's so old that you can't... You have lost certain...
Like, I know that my... I know that my right ear is... It's gotten to the point where my left ear is my good ear. I guess it's a better way to put it. And my right ear... Because I've been wearing headphones for... Over 40 years.
I never thought about that. Like,
yeah. But I don't have any real substantial hearing loss other than if I'm in a restaurant and there's background noise, I have a little trouble. But other than that, but this
so
one.
So only if you're in public.
Yes, when I'm sitting at home with my dogs by myself, reviewing every career choice I've ever made, all the 401ks that have gone down the drain, I can hear my mind as clear as a bell, Al. Yes, I can. Do you remember this ringtone?
I don't know. I don't remember hearing about that.
I kind of remember something that.
I'm so old I didn't even hear the story. So...
Once again, Josh's headphones, loud and clear.
So,
although they weren't as loud as clear as they were before we started. So I don't know what you fidgeted with.
I fidgeted with your FX Master Mono.
Oh, okay. I get you. Okay. Yeah.
I'm the gatekeeper now. I control what goes on the podcast.
Look at that. You've already got the Mr. Burns hands.
No, that's
Justin Bieber's hands. Have you seen his picture as Justin Bieber? Give him the Justin Bieber.
Oh, yes. It's very good.
Turned off Chick's mic. We're not talking about Justin Bieber and how I look like him. Someone on one of my videos said, he looks like a more gay Justin Bieber.
Hilarious.
Oh, okay. What? As this dude is playing softball in his profile.
You do look, sure. I'm going to tell you, you do look a little like John Mayer. His kid
That's
brother,
a great
at least.
Thing.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yes, that is a great thing.
I don't get it. I think you're a handsome guy. I don't get the. No. I don't see the John Mayer.
Is this hit
Josh,
on Josh?
This is just
podcast?
The one thing I need in my life. Yeah. And you shit on it.
Did I call you Josh? Jesus. Right. Old rock is kicking in.
Al is having a cocktail, as is our tradition on the Chick McGee Show.
Am I the only one not drinking alcohol right now?
You have to throw it in our face.
No, I'm asking because I feel
silly.
Well,
Josh says, and we have yet to test this, but Josh says he's allergic to alcohol. That sounds like a challenge.
Alcohol or alcohol and beer and wine?
Alcohol. Well, yeah, alcohol. All alcohol.
All of it.
But I forget what it's called.
I've seen him drink tequila and be sort of kind of okay.
Yeah.
But for some reason.
Yeah.
I think it's got to do with the worm or something.
The agave plant?
No, I think it was... I mean, I wasn't... I felt the allergy when I had that.
What do you feel?
Do you swell up? Hives?
The biggest... And people tell me that they think this is bullshit because...
Your tongue swell up?
They're like, yeah, everybody gets this. The biggest thing is my hangovers last 3 days.
Bullshit. Oh. Everybody gets that.
But I went to the doctor one time, and I hadn't – he goes, how long have you been an alcoholic? They did a blood test.
Really?
Yeah. And I go, what? And he goes – well, he was like, it's okay. You can talk. I go, doc, I'll be honest. I drink maybe once every 2 weeks, and this was the truth. I go, but I do binge drink. It's 10 or 12 beers.
Right.
And he goes, when was the last time? I go, it had to have been 2 weeks ago. And he goes, well, that's weird. Let me do something. And then they tested the blood. And they went, okay, yeah, no, you have what's essentially an allergy to alcohol where your body doesn't metabolize it correctly.
So it just stays inside.
So there's some still in you. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And then he gave me all this information. I looked it up and I have it on my – it's like all this technical stuff about why I'm missing something. Some sort of enzyme that helps break it down I don't have or it doesn't work or whatever.
Wow. Isn't that the same thing that Asian people have?
Yes.
That makes it difficult for them to metabolize alcohol? Yes. That's why a lot of Asians have...
This isn't a stereotypical thing?
No,
this is
a biological thing.
Biological, yeah.
Biological racism.
Really?
Is that, yes. Like the same thing as Native Americans?
Yeah. Well, I think the Native Americans may be more of a like a genetic thing in terms of... because alcoholism...
Oh, predisposed.
They're predisposed because so many of their relatives and the people that they've... came before them were alcoholics. But I think Asians lack a certain enzyme. Just like a lot of black people like myself, lack an enzyme called lactase, which helps us break down lactose and makes us lactose intolerant.
Uh-huh.
I think there's that same enzyme. I don't know what it's called for alcohol. And if you don't have it, your face gets really red. That's why
I get that.
Yeah, it's that's why the
gin blossom.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The typical Asian face when they're drinking euphoria. So is extended that, hangovers? Yeah.
Is that a That's an African American? Lactose intolerance is higher?
Oh, it's huge.
No kidding.
My mom, my grandparents, everybody. Yeah. And it happens about 14, 15 years old, but I can't have milk. I still love it. I'll still have a milkshake, but it'll just make me poop instantly.
Worst hangover you've ever had? Let's go age-wise. Jeff, start at the youngest.
This morning.
Oh, stop it. Really?
No. Worst hangover ever had? Shit. I don't know. Oh, after the puppy shower, probably.
Oh, that somebody threw up on your. Well, yeah. I say somebody. We know who it was.
Yeah. I had a puppy shower and I threw up. It got lit. It was
when he got little Nor Jones. We threw him a puppy shower at his house, and a friend of ours vomited on his shower curtain.
Oh,
yeah. I went without a shower curtain for maybe 8 weeks.
Oh.
I had the clear plastic one.
That's called prison
style.
Lock up. Oh. That's all you really need, the liner.
Yeah,
but you kind of just need the liner.
But Nora Jones can, like, see me through it, and she watches me.
Oh, you're shy? Yeah.
My dog watches me.
Does Nora Jones watch you do anything else?
She's seen some stuff.
Do you let her in the room when you're entertaining a female guest?
I kick her out.
And that, does she whine a lot when you're...
Sometimes she'll pop the door.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about the girl.
Have you ever had this?
Wine them down of 69?
You ever had a dog go crazy? You know what I mean? Like the dog's owner, you're at that house?
It's almost, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah? I've heard about that. Yeah, right? What is that?
Because the dog can't tell that you're not inflicting harm on its owner, because the owner's probably making different. First of all, whether it sounds horrible to say this, the owner's probably emitting a smell. That's
probably. Yeah. I was wondering that too.
Yeah, see, and then the sounds, it's like it's aggressive and it looks like somebody's being held down.
As much as we.
Because it kind of does.
They're wrestling. Hi. This is the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. Thank you. That's Jeff Vibbert. I'm Chick.
I don't have music ready.
Our guests today are Josh Arnold.
Hey.
And so technically, it's. The first Dem Boys podcast.
Yeah.
Woo! And our guest is the one, the only comedian, Al Jackson.
What's up, guys?
Is that okay? This is the last song I was listening to.
Is that Anita Baker? Who is that?
No, Anita Baker.
That's nice.
We pulled that back. First of all, Jeff has no idea who Anita Baker is.
Yeah, no.
Look up Anita Baker.
I know who she is, but Childish Gambino, Redbone.
Yeah, that is.
That
is a song. I hate to look at. Yeah,
I love Childish. Yeah.
If a girl hears that song, she knows what's up.
Especially if she's a red bone.
Right.
She just. Are you saying she might as well just go? Okay, yeah, this is happening.
She just say yes or no. I'm into this or not. But like once you put that song on, you're kind of throwing the gauntlet down.
All right, ready? Wait a minute. Here we go. Where the heck is? Oh, here it is. Oh no, there it is.
Heartbeat.
Yeah.
Childish Gambino.
Yeah, this is good.
Can you hear that?
Barely.
Yeah, Josh, can you hear it in your headphones?
Josh, are you okay? I know.
I can hear you perfectly. The song, not so much. There you go.
It's Donald Glover.
You have a seven. You can't.
I don't have a seven.
That's why
I wasn't
using
that. I'm uptown.
Yeah, that's a talented gentleman, isn't it?
He certainly is. Are you watching that? I feel uncomfortable because I'm going to mention Donald Glover and his new show at Atlanta, and I love the show, but I feel like I'm mentioning it just because Al's here.
No, it's such a great show.
It is a great show.
And I can vouch for you. You've talked about this show.
I have a lot, right? Yeah. And if you're not watching it, I mean, it's available. It's not the days of, you got to wait until they rerun it. Of course, it's on everywhere all the time. So
Donald Glover,
platform you'd like.
As an animated Deadpool series that he's about to release. He does everything.
He does
everything. What? Music, comedy,
Deadpool.
Did you
say an animated
Deadpool? Deadpool series?
Is he going to be – is he voice Deadpool?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he wrote it or what.
Remember the petition that was going around for him to be Spider-Man?
Well, he's going to be Lando in the new Star Wars.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm so excited about
that.
That's a great choice.
Yeah, he's going to be good. Yeah, he's like a perfect, like, Billy Dee Williams.
Yes.
His comedy special is amazing. Is it Weirdo?
Oh, I have not seen it.
I haven't seen the comedy special.
I think it's a 30-minute special, and it was like 2012 maybe when it came out.
He is kind of a weirdo, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a nerd, but
He's
so talented.
He's a geek. He's a techie.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. Hmm. And I wonder, Al, maybe you know, because you guys are both black. No. But
the thing is that didn't bother me at all.
Is he one of those guys that's working 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. just hustling? Just getting his projects made.
I think at this point, he's probably getting his projects made, but I think at this point people are sending him stuff.
See, that's
from like you begging and pleading to them begging and pleading. And he's definitely on the other side of that coin where he's taking scripts,
gotcha,
deciding what he wants to do, sending his own any project. He could put out a project, said, I just want to do laps around a cul-de-sac. They'd be like, we'll send a crew out.
Yeah.
He did it. He made it.
Well, you've got like 9 different things going all the time,
don't you? Lots of stuff going. I'm
in and out of the country and
lots of stuff.
England's
man.
Out of the country, right?
England's sure. Out of the country. Yeah, going to Australia in 3 weeks. Yeah, it's lots of touring. Lots of I'm more interested in doing stuff behind the camera as well.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm in the process of getting ready for an hour special on Netflix. So things are good, man.
Here's what you need to do: is a sitcom with an older next door neighbor with a gray beard and with
an
interesting used to be in radio and now he's on this TV show, and he could have a catchphrase that would go something like I got nothing, help me out.
Wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Wah, wah.
You could just, how about, what if you were my next door neighbor but you only spoke in like black euphemisms, so you just kept saying "child, please" and stuff like that. Lord have mercy.
He right.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Yeah, I could. Could I? Could you do that? That would be funny. I would.
I think it would be funny.
I would cast you.
The key would be Al's character would have to genuinely like you.
That way,
the viewing audience would like you.
See, that's where acting comes in.
right.
Masterclass.
What?
I just remember when I played myself on Jim Jeffries' sitcom, I realized how hard it was to be an actor, and that even though Jim Jeffries wrote the show, starred in the show, executive produced the show, wrote a part for me, I still had to audition to be myself. And they read me against Baron Vaughn, who's on that Frankie and Gracie show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
They read me against Tone Bell, who's on this new Kathy Bates Netflix thing. They read me against Eddie Griffin. And I was just like, I'm going to have to sit there and watch somebody else play Al.
Right.
I was convinced because my friend Baron called me and ran. This is like, because I had read for the part and, I didn't know they were reading anybody. And Baron just goes, are you friends with Jim Jeffries? I was like, yeah. And he goes, and I was like, why? He goes, well, I'm pretty sure I just read for a part that was supposed to be for you. And I was like, right then, I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. And he was like, the guy's name's Al and he's from Cleveland. He's a comic. I was like, all right. And I got the part, but it's just like, even when the star of the show, the producer of the show, the guy who wrote the show, who wrote a part that's named after you, says, we wanted this character's name's Josh, and this is what he does. It still doesn't matter. The network's like,
right? Yeah, isn't that crazy?
What if he's Mexican? There's always, it's so difficult to get cast in anything.
The evil notes.
That's why Louis, I read, said, hey, FX, I'll do a show. I do whatever I want, and I send it to you, and you would just put it on the air.
Right.
Right.
He wouldn't have to worry about that.
Well, that's the newer model with things like Louis, is they just give you money and you just shoot it and you just bring it back like, here it is.
Yeah.
Because what happens is you just have, in my experience, you have executives that are constantly trying to justify their job. And when you're sitting in a meeting with 6 or 7 executives.
Isn't that the truth?
They just sit there and they're just, if you sit there and go, great idea, chick. Then they'll be like, oh, well, maybe Al's expendable. So if you come to me with an idea, you say, I want to make the Jeff Vibbert show, and it's going to be him. He's going to be living with his girlfriend in New York City, and they're both trying to be struggling singers. And if I say, great idea, then what do I need to do? So I'll sit there and go, well, what if he's gay?
Yeah.
What if
he's Asian?
Just
to constantly just be like, oh, well, Al's got something to put. But meanwhile, this is your career. This is $60,000 an episode for you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a consultant. I mean, if they're not giving negative feedback, they're
done. And these people aren't not necessarily. They're not comedians. They're not people that – they were interns. They worked their way up from the mailroom. They worked at somebody's desk. They then became an associate, you know, and then they worked their way up to now that they're in a meeting. But that doesn't mean that they're funny or creative.
But think what it was before Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and all these platforms. And when Louis C.K. did that Horace and Pete thing and
yeah.
Didn't he just package it up and complete it and do the whole thing? And
sold it himself, I believe.
And sold it himself and wrote it himself. Here you go.
Yeah.
And I think he – didn't he – it wasn't even a network. It was just downloadable
his website,
on
wasn't
his
it?
Website.
Yeah.
And you bought the episodes and it was, you know, obviously a big success. It was really kind of a sad show if you haven't seen it. But
I heard it's sad.
Yeah. It's really dramatic. It's yeah, it takes a turn. I mean, but Steve Buscemi's in it and Edie Falco and Alan Alda, for fuck's sake. And, I mean, all these great actors. And, yeah, it's – and that's the – that's – you know, anybody, Vibbert.
Even me?
you're your own television network, radio
Even
network.
Me.
You're, you know?
It's really interesting. I saw Bobcat at a screening of his movie Willow Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave a talk afterwards, and he just said, you know, it used to be, he goes, it's a little different for you now. If you want to make a movie, just go make a movie. And that sounds easier, it's easier said than done. But he's right. You don't have to buy film anymore. You don't have to – you can go rent equipment, and you can put it out yourself.
There's that great scene in Back to the Future, and I forget which one it is. It might be – I don't know if it's the first one. It might be the second. Anyway, Christopher Lloyd looks at Michael J. Fox and has that at the time, the compact video cassette. It wasn't the big VHS
camera, right, yeah.
But it was the one at the smaller amount. And he goes, it's a television studio. I'm holding it in my hand. You know? And well, everybody has a television studio on their phone now. I mean, we've had – that's had to have happened. Somebody's made an entire movie off their iPhone, right?
Yes,
I mean,
yeah. There's one on Netflix. Yeah.
Is there?
It's called Tangerine.
I've heard of that one. Okay.
Is it about a tangerine?
No.
Is it the Clockwise Tangerine?
What's that?
Clockwork Orange. I was just sorry. Yeah.
Tangerine
I'll
sounds
fucking
like
kill myself.
Tangerine sounds like a racial slur, but it's only like in one part of the world.
Hey, come here, Tangerine.
Aimed at one weird. You're like, hey, welcome to St. Lucia. And you're like, oh, don't talk to the Tangerine.
Yeah.
You're like, look, it's a Tangerine.
Or it's like two things.
Yeah, you're not gonna serve that Tangerine, are you? That son of a. Get that Tangerine out of here.
I hear you.
All right, worst hangover you've ever had, Josh. You thought I forgot, didn't you?
Mid-20s. It was after I had been diagnosed with...
you looked it up.
A deficiency of aldehyde dehydrogenase.
Holy... that sounds like something made by Hellman's. Dehydrogenase.
It's
great on hamburgers.
We've taken the moisture out of mayonnaise.
That's right. just add grease, and it's your own man. Oh, that sounds like a great product,
actually. And, yeah, I was out for... I mean, it was three solid days of absolute misery. I was getting hot flashes. And,
yeah.
I mean, it was just terrible to where I went. I don't know if I'll ever be better.
Isn't there the next day, the worst hangovers like in the, like noon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And you think, okay, this can't be just a hangover. I think I'm really sick. I'm getting the flu. That's what I'm.
Yeah,
I'm really sure I'm getting the flu.
It's real pain.
It is real. Yeah.
But you know, it is dehydration, and dehydration can kill you. So you're like, it's like walking down the hallway of death. You're not going to die, but like that's what it could potentially feel like.
It's like walking.
It's just like
you're in the waiting room with Beetlejuice with the guy in the little guy sitting next to you. Well, up until I'm going to say, I'm acting like I don't know when it was, early 2013, I didn't know what the term blackout drunk was.
Yeah,
I thought it was just passing out. Well, you black out. Oh, well, of course.
But you're active for an hour or two.
Of course, blackout drunk is you're walking around, man. And then you black out and fall asleep, and then next day it was just, and they're like, dude, do you know what you did last night?
Oh,
like,
no.
What? I did what?
There's nothing like checking your phone and just being like,
the mental hangovers are often worse than the physical.
I had no idea. And long story short, I had to move out of that house. So it was a horrible, horrible. Oh,
in a weird way, the way you phrased it, you're exactly right. It's better to be a pass out drunk than a blackout drunk.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if it, but it's such a bad stigma to be like, oh, you passed out. But passed out means sleeping in a corner, might vomit, might sleep in it, but okay. But blackout just means, do you know that you called?
You called Letty.
Yeah.
And asked her if she was still alive.
Yeah.
And she won't answer because she got Fast and the Furious. Come on. It's Toretto Tuesday. What's Wednesday for the Fast and the Furious? Anybody?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably nobody.
Walker Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, Paul Walker. Yeah. Paul Walker Wednesday.
Whenever you're rereading your text from the night before, do you always ever go like, and make like a noise because you're so embarrassed? Like you have to get the thought out of your head?
It's not just you. You get really mouthy and aggressive when you text at night. And like, I read a text that I sent to somebody 4 weeks ago, and it was just like it was like I was reading something out of a history book. Like, that's how disconnected I was from ever having written it. I have no.
That scared me about being blackout drunk is that you have absolutely no memory of what happened.
Yeah.
Other than
yeah.
Multiple people are telling you what you did. And
right.
And this realization, like, oh my God, I did that and I have no memory.
Well, how
whatsoever.
Many people wake up in a jail cell?
Yeah.
With a splitting headache. With a busted head, and they have no idea. They're just waiting. The cop could be like, hey, you passed out on a park bench and somebody stole your phone, you dummy. Or you ran into a middle school bus.
Yeah.
And your lawyer will be here in 2 hours.
Right.
Like, you don't know. Yeah. You don't know what's I mean, how many people has that happened to where you just don't know if you drove that night? I mean, Lord knows.
Man.
I have driven in conditions that I'm not proud of.
Oh, same sure. Here,
I don't
man.
Do that
Absolutely.
Anymore, like post Uber.
Right. Right.
But before that, no one wants to talk about it. But like before Uber.
That driving buzzed campaign that they had. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know of anybody who hasn't been driving a little buzzed and probably, you know, over 0.08.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It gives me chills to think about some of the driving I did.
Yeah. It's bad and no one's, it's, I think that the one really good thing is I think everybody, we as a people, were like, drunk driving's not cool. I even say it on stage to just because I'm so anti-drunk driving. Yeah. But, I mean, Lord knows. I've done it. But there was a point in time before Uber where, like, you couldn't – in theory, you could call a cab. But, like, cabs, sometimes they wouldn't answer.
Yeah.
They wouldn't come.
Sometimes they'd say an hour and a half. Yeah.
Take forever.
Yeah, they would take forever. And then they just might not come. The dispatcher, it would be a different dispatcher when you call – like, you just be like, dude, I could have been home by now. I'm fine. Everybody that's. But now, when you look on a regular Saturday night, 1 o'clock in the morning, you're leaving a bar, every Uber that you see, you think about that 10 years ago, that was a drunk driver.
Conceivably, that
think
was everybody
about that.
Driving.
Like,
driving buzz.
Those are all drunk drivers. Now they're Ubers. And you're like, oh, it's an Uber. And you don't care. But think about if. The Uber thing was gone. That car just passed. That Civic, drunk person.
Yeah.
That Buick, drunk. And then you realize how many drunk people were on the road with you.
Yeah.
Or just on the road in general.
Right.
The
thing that makes me so mad is I feel like places want you to get a DUI so they get the money because they make it so hard. Oh, you got to leave your car here. But if you leave your car, we're going to tow it. Like, how about you just, and then if you're sleeping in your car, you can't do that. You're going
that's
to jail.
A DUI, too.
That's a DUI.
Well, yeah, like, but isn't there, like, if the keys are in the ignition or some gray area.
Or if they're, like, in your pocket.
Is that the thing?
Yeah, if they're, like, on your person. I think that's in some states. I'm looking.
Okay, yeah, I don't know.
So you can be, but can't you get a public intox or something?
Yeah, it's stupid. Like, if someone is just like, hey, I'm just sleeping in my car.
I'm sleeping this off until I can.
Come on.
Man,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think the only way that you can get past that, and if you had the peace of mind to do this, you probably would have the peace of mind to drive, but you're supposed to put your keys in your trunk. Which, okay, you've had 7 shots of Jack. Oh, let me remember the city ordinance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get in your trunk to get your keys, though?
Pop the trunk. If you're in the car.
Yeah, then you just pop the. Oh. I'm embarrassed to say, and I am ashamed, just that there were times where I'd be like, man, I got a good buzz on. I just want to get in the car and roll the windows down and listen to music. Like, that's crazy.
A real thing. I remember this is
listen to Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
This is how recently it was kind of okay to drunk drive publicly. is I remember, again, when I lived in Miami, which isn't that long ago, there's a guy who's now passed away, but the sports personality, Jim Mandich, Jim Mad Dog Mandich.
Miami Dolphins.
Miami
right?
Dolphins, yeah. Went to the University of Michigan.
That's right.
He used to always, you know, he'd come back on sports radio and be like, hey, I hope you're out there. It's 4:30. Hope you're riding around with your windows down. You got a green thing in between your legs, like talking about having a Heineken. Like,
openly. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And this is when I taught middle school. This isn't 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like, yeah, it was, just, and no one was like, hey, that's encouraging. But when, random, I remember back in the 80s when Blockbuster first opened, my Uncle Jimmy, who was a raging alcoholic, which a lot of black men were in Cleveland, he used to drink 40s. Mm. And my Aunt Marilyn and my, I shouldn't say names, drove us to Blockbuster, and we went inside, and he stayed in the car, and we came out, and he was completely passed out. This is like an afternoon, like head forward against the steering wheel, asleep, man. And like my aunt shook him for, I don't know, 2 minutes, and he woke up and drove us home.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And I mean, I was probably 8, 7, or 8, but even I was like, hey. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, like when you don't have the vocabulary to be like, please don't do that. And again, but I don't think that's not a shot against her or him. It was just the culture. Like, guys would have a couple pops. They'd get hammered during Little League and scream and drive. It was culturally acceptable.
Or you drink beer during your softball game, or you go out around a golf and get loaded on the golf cart. And is that illegal, driving a golf cart drunk? Probably not.
Probably not.
I can't
unless
imagine
you run over somebody. I mean, you're on private property. I don't know how that works.
Man,
there's no age limit to driving a golf cart, is there? I mean,
I don't know why you're looking at me right now.
Yeah. Well, you're the closest to that. What would have been that?
Yeah, there
age
is.
Limit.
I mean, there's. I think you have to have a driver's license.
What?
So if you have to, yeah.
I didn't know that about boats. I did. You can't. I mean, there are like, you can't captain a boat drunk, and you can't.
Right.
Marlins pitcher. That Marlins pitcher.
Yeah.
Was ham. First of all, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I don't like when a guy dies via circumstances that we all understand why he died, and don't release the toxicology report. You know, they were saying he was drunk and he had coke in his system. I'm like, he's 24. He's a multimillionaire. He has a boat in Miami on a Friday. Yeah, he had coke in him.
I can't.
You kidding me?
I would.
He put four models on his boat.
We were talking about this before we, and this is supposed to be behind the scenes, but we were way behind the scenes. We were talking about LeBron James, and I mean, he. Can you imagine being that good, and for as long as you, I mean, because there, even when I back in the 30s when I played high school football, I mean, there was a culture in the small
town. When they were running the wing tee.
That's right, no face mask. And you know, there was a culture
hour left
where the football players were, you know, singled out, and you got out of class early, and it was just a subtle thing. But can you imagine that for LeBron James as far back as he can, or this Marlins pitcher? I mean, I can't imagine it takes a special human being to turn out even halfway normal, or what you want to call normal.
That's why I think we should be more forgiving to people like Amanda Bynes and Lindsay Lohan and Bieber and stuff. It's like, look.
Child stars.
They, of course, they're screwed up. Are you kidding?
Of course.
We need to help them, not just splash them around TMZ. Can we give them a hand, maybe?
There's a certain kind of perverse enjoyment that people watch with successful people failing, especially young, attractive people.
Yeah.
Like, people were fine watching when Britney Spears shaved her head 10 years ago. Everybody was like, well, she's definitely going to kill herself. We just want to make sure the camera's on her when she
does. Exactly.
And now that she's got her life together, like, you never hear her.
No, it's all positive.
I guarantee you that somebody said, let's get the package ready. So when Britney.
Oh, yes.
When Britney dies, so we'll have that ready to go.
There are 25 Charlie Sheen memoriam videos.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They are. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Man.
So that's like that death pool. I think Stanhope runs a death pool thing. And it's morbid and awful, but
yeah, people just don't. I don't think people really understand what it's like to be that famous. I've been close to famous people,
right?
To very famous, but it's still when I was talking to to a friend of mine that's friends with Zac Efron, and he was telling me, like, he had never seen it. He was a famous guy. He was like, I had never seen anybody that famous. Like, I guess he tried to go to a bar with him, and he was like, it took about 35 seconds before, like, one person was like, and then it just spread. And he said the Zac Efron had to literally run down the street to the limo and take off because girls were chasing him in an aggressive manner. Like
to where they were going to be pawing at him
running,
at the least.
Running after him full speed. You know, it's just like there's a – to be that famous, to have that kind of power, I don't think anybody's ready for it. I don't think it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the – every once in a while when you do act out, I think it's, you know, it's celebrated when people fall off. But it's like, you know, people get drunk at barbecues and that's nothing.
As a human being, though, you see Zac Efron sprinting away. What in your mind is like, I better chase after him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know,
shame
that,
on those people.
That's a great point because I was growing up, I was and I listened to the radio all the time and disc jockeys and you know, I could envision what they were doing, I thought, and you know, I never missed a certain guy and I would no more and I'll be out at the Best Buy this afternoon from 2 to 4. Come on out and say hi. I would have never no way I would have gone to I just I'm not that guy, you know? I don't know. And then, you know, I was asking people to come see me then, but I thankfully, they did, but I don't know. I'm just not.
But you have a skill outside of the radio, too. You're like, come see me do stand up, come see me MC this event.
MC, let's not say stand up.
It's another thing to just see somebody and make a dead sprint towards them. That's very
true.
Strange.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. And it's for them, right? So they can get the selfie or they can say,
well,
I touched him.
I don't know what documentary it was, or maybe it was just an interview with Susanna Hoffs of the Bengals. I don't know why I've remembered this over the years, but I mentioned it a lot. And she said something that really has stuck with me. It's like it's against all human nature. If you're standing somewhere and someone's coming toward you with a total look of recognition on their face, and you've never seen this person before.
That's
in your life,
interesting.
You know, and it's unsettling. It's uncomfortable. It's frightening. I mean, it's like
it's almost like being hunted.
And then they come up and start saying things about your life, and you and they've been obviously listening and all this sort . And you have no idea
things you may have forgotten you even said.
I wanted to forget.
Yeah. Or things that you didn't, especially with a musician, because people project so much of their own stuff on the, like, oh, you were speaking to me when you said, and it was like, that lyric meant nothing to me.
It just rhymed with moon. Leave me.
I think it's even more than music. I think people that podcast or people that are part of people's lives on a daily basis where you hear somebody's voice every single day.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you guys are on the radio every single day. So if somebody listens to Bob and Tom for 15 years, whether you know it or not, you've been a voice in their car, almost like a passenger in their car.
Right.
For 15
That's
years.
Right.
So they know you. They're like, oh, cheat chick. Oh, you know, you can't talk about his Redskins. But he doesn't. He knows you, but you don't know him. And it's a weird dynamic.
And he's by himself. It's so personal. He's by himself in the car. They're by themselves in the bathroom listening to the radio show. And you forget how personal it is. I was telling Josh this earlier in the week. I had to do grown-up stuff on Monday, and it involved a bank, and I hate that sort of thing. But it was really cool because I walked in, and there was this kid. I don't think he was 30, but he was a great guy, and he said, oh, I recognize you when you came in. I go, oh, thanks a lot. He goes, my mom and dad and I used to listen every morning before I went to school. And that's the cool part.
Yeah.
Because the parents and the kid and you know, maybe this kid was misbehaving or something. And that was the only thing that, you know, I don't want to make it too big a thing. But, I mean, they did it together. And that's really something cool to hear, you know. And you forget great stuff like that.
We were off for one day this week, and we got a lot of us got social media, like, where are you guys? How come you're not on?
Nothing happened again, did it?
Or right, and that like would that. Be easy to complain about if it weren't for like, oh, no, they're just kind of concerned.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're friends.
They're not being
nosy. It's like a friend not showing up to school or
they're
work.
They're not stalking. They're
right,
not,
no.
They're, like,
they're just like, oh, is everything cool?
Is everything okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Is Vibbert all right? What's going on?
Right, I mean, right.
Where?
It is very. It's incredibly. Like, it's incredibly personal.
Something you were talking about, the, getting the selfie.
Yeah.
I think one trend that I've noticed, and not just my generation, although it's more prevalent in my generation, is people have stopped caring about doing a good job and like accomplishing something, and just getting a selfie of them kind of doing it. They don't care about the outcome of the project that they're doing. They just want a selfie of them kind of doing it and go, oh, well, I'm done.
I've got the selfie.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. The end result doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's the, well, that's it. This has been happening for a while. Yeah. People who are, you know, writing a script in Starbucks. It's like, it doesn't count if you don't do it where people can see you.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
what the hell is,
right. Wouldn't you get more done in your home?
I don't know why or people some, do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think actually some people don't, they have to leave their home because they're not,
and
they,
let me,
they don't
let
have
me
their
just
TV.
Say this. I go to the library to write because if I don't, it's going to be, let me write this. Let me check Pornhub.
Exactly,
real quick.
Right.
Oh, new
so, yeah,
video
some people
uploaded.
Do have
Hello,
to leave.
Ultimate Surrender.
But, oh, you go to the, but you went to the library.
Yeah.
A library.
Look.
Like, that's not a glamorous place. You know, it's
just because I bring my typewriter into Starbucks doesn't mean I'm a bad person.
But I, can you guys imagine people who work in their homes? I, you know, and getting up at 7:30 and being at your desk in your house at
it's
8
impossible.
O'clock ready to work.
Well, it's not, some There's people
no,
can do it.
Yeah, some people can do it and do
I couldn't.
Well.
And I did it for a while. I was a freelance copywriter and it.
There's no way.
It was. Yeah, no.
Well,
I should have made 10 times more than I actually did.
If I get up at 8.
If I had done.
Yeah.
I mean, I just coast.
Two for Tuesday. I'm going to be 22 minutes late. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm just going to lay.
That's why I can never be a substitute teacher. That phone would ring, and I go, yeah, no, thanks.
And also, as a former teacher, your sub is going to get it. My subs used to get it. To the Oh, my God. I used to feel like I used to think about that when I would call out. I'd be like, oh, my God, they're going to kill my sub. And they would just light her up. They would light her up. They'd be like, even kids, you know what's weird? It's like, excuse me, like subs bring out antagonistic behavior even in your semi-good kids. Because you have a scale of kids. You have kids that are just going to even be bad for you. You have kids that never cause a problem. But the middle kids that are just kind of like, eh. You'd be like, Ricardo told you to fuck off?
he's a good kid.
He said anything in 2 weeks. Like,
yeah.
What?
That's how Lord of the Flies could happen. Because
yeah.
Some of those kids who could go and either
if,
way.
And if it does, it'll be a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Did you know that Al Jackson was a teacher? Well, we'll come back with more on that. See what I did
See?
There? The Chick McGee Show Part 2 coming up on Podcast 1. But first, let me tell you about Blue Apron. Oh, yes.
Blue Apron.
That's right. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients, of course, make a difference. That's Blue Apron. And Blue Apron's affordable, less than $10 a person per meal. And Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals.
Wait, Chick, is seasonal a double entendre? Seasonal?
Seasonal.
Kind of.
And seasoned?
They're seasonal and they're seasonal. They're
Well, they give you all the seasons.
They give you all the seasons.
Pre-measured.
And there's spring, summer, winter, fall.
Yeah.
So spring, you want hot dogs at the ballpark.
So they'll give you the proper seasonal, they'll give you seasonal seasonings.
Yes, there we go. Right. Much better put.
I don't want to get it caught up in the seasons, okay?
Okay, all right.
That's Blue Apron, you know, and it comes to your door. You sign up and 1, 2, 3. And of course, we have a deal for you on the Chick McGee Show. Get a load of this. You check out this week's menu at blueapron.com, and your first 3 meals are free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/McGee. That's McGee. Please put that in there. Give us a little help, will you? I don't want to beg, but please do that. You'll love how good it feels and tastes, and it'll you create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. And the thing I love is that I remember when my daughter now is, my youngest is now 24, and when she was 4, 5, and 6, right in there, we'd make cookies and dump in, Daddy. I always remember her saying that.
Oh, man.
She wouldn't say that now to save her life. The ungrateful. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Best dad in the world.
Bean, I'm kidding. You know that. Okay, that's Blue Apron. And bond with your kids, right? BlueApron.com/McGee. First 3 meals are free with free shipping. BlueApron.com/McGee. We'll be back with part 2 of the Chick McGee Show on Podcast 1.
Support for this podcast comes from Dice.com, the career hub for tech. With their new salary predictor, Dice makes it easier for you to understand how much your skills are worth. They'll even show you which skills are most likely to increase your pay. And with over 70,000 tech jobs, you'll be able to put those skills to good use when you find your next role. Dice is always free for job seekers, so visit dice.com/canyouhackit to see how you can start hacking your career today.
I've got the Godfather. What do they call it? The Godfather Saga.
Oh, yeah, where it's all in order.
Yeah, one and two are in, they take it and they put it in chronological order.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I'm not sure what chronological means, but it's in that order.
Chrono meaning time, logic meaning, I don't know what that means.
See, not so easy, is it? No. Hi, welcome back to the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. Our guest today is Sweetface. Al Jackson.
Comedian. I don't know if I still want to be guests. I feel like we're family.
Well, yeah, we can do this again next week. You're going to be here, right?
I'll be here next week.
All you have is family.
We need to do something. What are you doing Sunday?
Nothing.
We try to do something here on
Yeah.
You don't know, I bet. We watch
Sunday Funday?
Kinda. Okay. We
don't call it that.
You're out.
It was Josh's idea, he said, gritting his teeth. But Fast and the Furious 8 just came out. So it was Josh's idea starting in February. And we didn't know Fast and the Furious. I didn't know Fast and Furious 8.
Fate!
I didn't know Fate. Fast and Furious from my behind. So he says, let's watch all seven leading up to the opening of 8.
So we did that for 8 weeks.
And stupidly, we said, well, we took 1 week off because I feigned illness. I could not take one more damn Fast and the Furious movie. And I still say 7's my favorite. But we did that every Sunday because Jeff and I, and Josh is an NHL fan, but Jeff and I are both, you're an NFL. This is the longest off season in the history. Every off season is the longest off season in the history of my life.
When are OTAs?
I think it is next week, actually.
Wow, okay.
I think. Is it OTAs right. or involuntary? Is it involuntary?
Involuntary, and then it's OTAs.
did I tell you my thoughts on the Browns for this next season?
I read an article today that said the New England Patriots are favorite in every game coming up in the NFL season. Upcoming
Boo, Vibber,
NFL season.
For that one.
And in that same article, it said the Cleveland Browns were never a favorite in any of their games coming
right.
up. Which I think is outrageous. That, what's his name, Miles Garrett?
Miles Garrett.
He's a monster.
He's good.
He's going to be great, right?
Chicky, here's my theory. Okay. I want to hear what you guys think about this.
You know, I grew up in Central Ohio. I was a Browns fan there for a little bit.
I know. Are we like your second team?
Yeah.
I feel like everybody's got a team that you don't...
Yeah.
Like, you know, in a weird way, as a Browns fan, I'm kind of... Because I had Aaron Rodgers for so many years in fantasy... I like the Packers in a weird way.
Well,
it seems like it's fun to go to a Packers game. Their fans are excited. I'm like, oh, is that what football's like?
Yeah.
When your team scores, like, first of all, I'm like, oh, you score. Okay. And it just seems like it's fun to be a cheesehead. It seems like it's fun.
It does, yeah.
Like, their fans are fun.
The Packers are the reason I'm a Redskins fan, because Lombardi, and when you're growing up in the early 60s, well, mid-60s, the Packers were the only team on TV.
Right. And Lombardi went to the Redskins.
And
you followed him over.
And I followed him over, and they had a pudgy quarterback, Jurgensen. And I said, oh, this is my team.
Was he Sonny with an O or U?
Sonny with an O.
All right.
Sonny Jurgensen. And you know, Sonny's actual name is Adolf. But we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Adolf Christensen Jurgensen.
Adolf.
Isn't that quite a mouthful?
How many Adolfs are left? How many young Adolfs are there? How many 24-year-old? What do you have people call you? Dolph? Maybe Dolph Lundgren is
Adolf. Lundgren is an Adolf.
He probably is.
Yeah, you'd have to go with Dolph.
I must break you.
Let's see. How old would you'd have to be aware of. Sonny Jurgensen's mom and dad was aware of.
Oh,
Adolf
definitely.
Hitler, right?
1930s, homie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they knew.
This will blow over. It my
that wasn't a joke. His name's really Adolf?
Yeah.
Oh.
Honest to God.
I thought that was one of the classic Chick McGee.
No. That's classic McGee. No. No, that's the joke. All right. What's your theory on the Browns?
I say this season, the Browns don't play. Hear me out.
All right.
Listening?
Oh, so we're looking at 0-16.
0-16, but here's my thing.
Well, what do they do on game
day? We're going to go 0-16 anyway, but people are going to get hurt. Here's what we do, and I don't want to cut down on stadium revenue. I know a lot of people depend on that money. The
sure.
ushers.
Parking.
Ticket people. Listen, Browns fans are crazy. Still tailgate.
They do.
Still show up at the stadium, but instead of playing the games.
Damn, they do.
We show classic Browns games on the Jumbotron. Where they won, like 86 Bernie Kosar Browns.
Or Brian Seip Browns.
Brian Seip, 88, Belichick Red 88. Browns. We show all we show the fun times. So, like, we're going to go 0-16, but this year they just practice for a year. The Browns just need to take a year off and practice. They don't understand the game. I feel like they're like we imported a bunch of Asian students that had never seen the game. They need to learn football. Take this year off. Let it go. Practice.
This is interesting.
Go 0-16. We went 1-15 and we played every game. That means the four of us could have gone out there 7 men short and only won one less game than they won last year.
Yeah.
And I'm half drunk on vodka.
If they go 0-16 for not playing any games, do they forfeit their draft pick?
That's an interesting take.
I don't know. I think 0-16 is 0-16. Or we could go out and just take a knee. If you need us to take a knee, we'll take a knee.
The shield would not. Goodell would
but what
not.
What do you do about that?
He would have
that would
baby.
Be the ultimate Kaepernick protest.
Yeah, just claim some social, you know, injustice and yeah, you can get away. You might be able to get away.
Instead of the names on the back of the jersey, it just says, "I can't breathe." We just take knees. I said it on the podcast.
You're not going to get. They're not going to get that much backlash.
My opinions of Al Jackson are not necessarily that.
Well, what is the Brown Stadium seat? Do you think
70,000?
No.
Sure.
Wait, no, it is the new stadium. I'm thinking about the old Cleveland Browns. Hey.
What is it?
I was going to say 68.
I bet if they do what you're
Vibs is
what
on
you're
it.
Proposing,
the millennials,
10,000 every time at least.
Dude, because Browns fans just want to drink anyway. And
yeah,
the
let's
best
go out
fans.
And party. It
see,
up.
That's the amazing thing about it. I mean, as far as diehard fans go, Cleveland Browns fans are definitely in the top 10.
Because we go into the season. Not expecting anything. Yeah. It'd be like if I invited you over for dinner, and if I had plates, you'd be excited.
That's exactly
we
right.
We don't expect anything.
Yeah.
And so, if the fact that they won one game was Joe Thomas was crying when they won that game last year.
Yeah.
Our Hall of Fame left tackle was crying because we won one game because we were so sure. So, I mean, we might lose, in theory, we might lose 31 of 32 games in 2 years.
Is there a
process
chance?
That.
Is Damn. There any way?
But didn't they
go, you know, 5-?
No.
There's no chance.
Okay,
no
they
way.
Can't.
There's
okay,
no
they
way.
play the Steelers, Bengals, twice. And Ravens twice.
Okay,
so
that's
six
losses. Six losses right off the rip.
And you're 100% confident you lose all six of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you high?
I'm just, things happen.
There's
so I don't
no
know.
Way.
I don't know.
Who are they? Who are they matched up against this year? What division?
That's a good question.
By the way, it seats 73,000.
73,000. Wow. Good job. Yeah, good guess. I said 68. Yeah. And it's just so I say the Browns don't play this year. They just practice, come up with some kind of weird. And you know what they should do? Get Elon Musk
to
come up with
the
new
Tesla,
offense.
The Tesla guy.
Because whatever we're doing, we're not thinking outside of the box. Let's think.
Shake just, things up.
Yeah. Do something different.
Huh. Now, Elon Musk came up with the idea. He's like, we need to have an underground system that we can travel through. That's a subway. You thought of a subway. Like, it's already invented.
Well, did he have any differences?
Okay. Well, you have cars go through it.
People
get
on and on.
Gotcha.
Okay, here we go.
It's a tunnel.
But who would you rather be? And you know, I'm going to take up the Redskins. Because the Redskins are close. I mean,
you guys are close, 100%.
It's maddening how close the Redskins are to being deep into the playoff team.
Can I just say this before you even go further? You have a legitimate quarterback to win a Super Bowl. You have a Pro
you
Bowl
think?
Tight end.
Honest
you have,
to gosh.
Kirk Cousins can win a Super Bowl. He could win. He's efficient.
He's streaky.
He's not flashy, But he's pretty efficient.
He's streaky, and he. But yeah, when he's on, man,
you can run the ball.
That Packer game last year was impressive. Yeah. And Jordan Reed though can't stay on the field because of a concussion.
I had him in fantasy. Trust me, I know when he's on the field, he's a badass. Yeah. Like you guys have everything in place. If you guys are a house party, you guys have a ton of booze.
Yep.
The girls are just pulling up. They're coming out the car four deep. Your friends getting the music ready,
and this is the best draft that I can remember.
You guys are ready,
very
man.
Good.
You
guys are ready. Allen out of Alabama,
Jonathan Allen, and Alabama linebacker.
Yep.
And
yep.
So who would you like? We're competitive. I've always said. I mean, I love watching my team blow out somebody. I just love that.
It's great.
It's 35-0 at halftime, and I love those games. People that, well, you know, you want to win by three in overtime. No, I want to enjoy the game.
It gets old, chick.
Okay.
Oh, these Pats fans.
Oh, I see.
I hate myself too. But the Browns play the AFC South and they play the NFC North.
So who's on our schedule?
So like the Colts, Jaguars. You can beat the Jaguars. I think you will. I don't think you beat the Titans. You also play the Lions have improved. Lions. I think you beat the Bears. You have a good chance to beat the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears are terrible.
Yeah, yeah. You might win two games. So that's
how about Jay Cutler? Right? What happened there?
I think
he's going to be in the booth.
He doesn't want to play anymore. I think. How many athletes do you think really want to play, or just that you're really big? What if you're just big? I mean, Jay Cutler's got a huge arm. He's 6'4". Some people are just born with this gift. I don't think a lot of people that are necessarily born with their gifts love what they do. I think a lot of the people that love what they do are probably 5'10". Mm-hmm. I think Doug Flutie probably just loved playing football.
I'm with you.
Yeah, where other people
it's
just
a classic.
Like,
yeah, if you put that his heart, for lack of a better term, into like Jay Cutler, you know, oh my gosh,
right? Yeah,
you know?
Doug. Yeah, I mean, Doug Flutie was making it. Doug Flutie's like a regular guy that would be at LA Fitness.
And Cutler's facial expressions.
Boy, he's sad. I think he suffers from like clinical depression. He seems like a sad guy.
Do you remember? Have you seen his NFL T-shirt merchandise commercial? It's actually pretty funny. He almost has like a personality. It was I was surprised,
right?
And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people when he's going to Fox, right?
He is going to Fox.
Man,
I just think there's a moment where these guys don't want to retire, and then once they do, they're like, "Holy shit, no more push-ups." There's got to be that moment where you're like, "I don't have to run any more laps."
I don't want to make it sound like I was, you know, a high school football star. I wasn't, but I can remember getting injured a couple times, and there's nothing cooler than standing on the sidelines watching everyone else practice.
Are you serious?
It's the best feeling in the world. That might explain why I wasn't better at football.
What'd you play?
Offensive and defensive tackle.
Yeah?
Yeah. I scored a 2-point conversion in my last game as a senior.
Yeah! Fumble Ruski?
No, I was at running back, and they
handed up
they
like
handed
the,
me the ball, and I've been married 3 times and divorced 3 times. I've never been hit harder since. it was something else.
Yeah.
We were undefeated and untied.
I think you would say her divorce lawyer came on a free safety blitz. You didn't see it coming.
Oh my God! Yeah, guys, keep your 401k.
How many sacks did you have?
I didn't play. I was our team was great. We had a kid who went to Ohio State. I was on second string. I didn't play that. I mean, I got a letter, but I didn't. I was on the extra point team. I didn't play that much. But I mean, but as you might imagine, I was kind of I was in charge of morale. Like I would, you know, make jokes on the bus driver.
But why is that less important?
I don't know that it is.
That's what I'm saying. I think that. I think the big brute guys depend on guys like us to kind of keep it light a little bit and make.
Well, but when I scored my 2-point conversion, my mom and dad came to one football. I played football for 4 years. They came to one game, my last one. But that's just the way parents
they were there.
But they were there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but they were sitting next to the All-States guy, wide receiver, went to Ohio State. And so my mom. My son just scored 2 points. And, you know, this he scored.
Your dad's like, why isn't he starting?
122 points.
He scores every time he touches the ball.
14 touchdowns, you know, stuff like that. But
the Allstate spokesman went to your school?
No, he was Allstate. Not Dennis Haysbert. No.
This is what we're getting today.
Wait a minute. And then we went to a fast food restaurant after that.
Yeah, dude, I hit a wall. I went to Arby's before this. I climbed a mountain, the Smokehouse Mountain, and it...
That every meat sandwich?
Wait a minute.
So good. The meat is so tender and
wait
juicy.
Wait a minute. What is
it's
this?
It's like a brisket.
Yeah. It's like... Oh, okay. It's not the every meat sandwich.
Oh, it was.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Brisket is the most difficult meat to cook on the face of the earth.
Yeah, you have to smoke the shit out of it.
Low and slow for like days, but it's worth it. But
I rang the fuck out of that bell. Because the cook cooked it so well.
Really?
Oh,
they have a bell at Arby's?
Yeah. You get great service.
You know what I respect about Arby's is they pick the lane. And I think a lot of men...
They do.
Men can learn a lot from Arby's. But I think a lot of guys try and just be nice to girls, or they try and dress like kind of nondescript. Arby's is like, we're not McDonald's. We're not Chick-fil-A. Their commercials like, we have meat here, dog.
Yeah.
We have roast beef.
The meat.
We have sauerkraut. We have Reubens. We have brisket. If you don't, we don't have chicken sandwiches. We don't have your pussy little salads. We have meat here. If you don't want that, that's fine. And a lot of people don't want that, but the people that do really want it.
Yep.
So, like, Arby's has this like, weird fan base. And it's like guys that kind of decide. My co-host for that BBC show, he dresses like a guy from England, maybe in the 1950s. It's a very classic, crisp look.
Okay.
And some girls don't dig it, but a lot of hot chicks dig it because he kind of looks like a...
Like a Kingsman?
He dresses... That's exactly... Yes. I'll pull up his Instagram now and show it to you.
I love that movie, by the way.
It's an awesome movie. But it's like, every guy listening... Pick a lane. I don't care if you're going to be polo collar popped, Nike hat guy. If you're going to be, punk rock, late night, going to see an indie punk band on the Tuesday night guy.
Yeah.
If you're going to be, pick a lane. And Arby's picked the lane.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're not talking about their nuggets. We're not talking about their salads. They have meat. You're on the show talking about their meat.
Yep.
Good job, Arby's.
You also brought up Chick-fil-A. I went to a Chick-fil-A for the first time ever yesterday.
Oh, MILF Central.
Not at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No kidding.
But I was watching from the window. I was at a comedy club.
What a bunch of men we are that don't work. We're at Chick-fil-A at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That didn't seem weird to anybody.
Josh was at a movie. I was at a Chick-fil-A.
I was at the mall today at I'm going to say 12:30, 1 o'clock. It was glorious. There was no one at the mall. It was just, you're walking along.
Car wash on a Monday at 11.
That's the best. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Pre-lunch. Yeah. Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Well, that's what messes you up about this kind of lifestyle that we have is when you do have to go to the grocery store on like a Saturday at 10 in the morning, you're like, there's 40 people.
Yes.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's crazy. Really weird. Yeah.
You have to drive somewhere at 4:30 p.m. You're like, what, people do this every day?
This is
a nightmare.
Where are all these cars coming from? No one can drive. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I'll never like a regular schedule.
I think the regular schedule is going to go away eventually. It has to, because if you look at when you drive and you look at all the... These huge office complexes that all have for retail or for rent on them. Mm-hmm. We were talking about people working from home. I don't think it's profitable for people to have people come into a building.
No,
anymore.
Yeah, brick and mortar isn't.
It's for anything.
It's becoming less profitable.
You don't need it. You can just have somebody send it to somebody's phone.
There's no overhead.
Yeah, what are you going to have somebody come into an office for?
Yep.
You have insurance. Have you done this?
Have you done the Starbucks thing yet? Have you done the Starbucks app?
What?
It's amazing. You order your drink on your app. You can go to the window, or you can. I don't mind getting out of the car, and you just, especially with this, you get out of the car, you walk in, your drink is sitting under a sign that says mobile orders. You pick up your drink and you go back in your car.
I've done that with Panera.
Shut up.
I've done it with Panera.
You don't talk to anybody?
You don't talk to anybody.
It's the only way I do.
it's amazing.
I do that with Panera, and it is. It's the best.
Oh, I have seen it at Panera. I need to try it.
You walk in. In fact, yeah. I'm always baffled as to how I'm not. I walk in, grab the bag of food, and leave. Anybody could do it.
By the way, Josh, you guys are having such a white conversation. My body's going to turn to antimatter and just disintegrate. It's a Panera Bread Starbucks discussion.
And I did the same thing at Banana Republic. I bought a pair of chinos, and I went in, and I said, I need. Yeah.
No, I mean, but that's. Okay, let me ask you guys. I'm glad you brought that up. Is that a good thing? I kind of like my interaction, my brief interaction with the Starbucks employee or a Chick-fil-A employee, Josh, Jeff, because I like because they're so pleasant.
Yeah,
I like for somebody to say hi, sir.
Chick-fil-A is
I like that
the finest customer service of any public offering, I think.
Sometimes I'll leave my house, like, I gotta go talk to someone. I'll just go to Starbucks and go to Starbucks and be like, okay.
Jeff,
right.
Would you want to go pick up, just go to Starbucks and your drink is there and it says Jeff, and you go get in, get back in your car like you.
But sometimes you do want to do that.
Yes, I would.
Sometimes
really?
You
do
that. Oh, yeah. Mine said Charles. And I would
have was there an accent note over the Charles?
Charles.
I want to know how you guys handle this because I went to a Starbucks with my son who cock blocked me.
Really? Because sometimes you would think it would be the opposite.
Did he talk a lot mommy?
I didn't even try. The Starbucks employee, have you ever seen a girl that's so hot and she has no idea how hot she is?
Yes.
And that makes her even hotter.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Yeah. This Starbucks girl was like Asian and Puerto Rican, but she had like these jet blue eyes and this sandy long brown hair. And she's just talking to me. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, you're free to go.
Why
you
are
can
you?
Go date one of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you why are you in a Starbucks in Marina Del Rey? No.
Why
she
aren't
was
you
so hot.
At my house sitting on my patio enjoying a espresso?
She was so hot that I almost want to. I was like, I wanted to take a picture of her, but I'm like, I'm old, so I can't discreetly do that. Like, I wanted to take a sneak peek pic, but I didn't know how to. She was so hot. I just wanted to show people, like, look how beautiful this human is.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, weird. Sometimes you just see these hot chicks, and you're like, why?
What did you do?
Here?
What did you do? Al, what did you do?
I didn't know. I got my. I made eye contact with her. I gave her that old black man eye contact. All right, sweetheart. I'm starting to become my dad. All right now, sweetheart. All right, look and see you.
All right, Dan.
Hate to see you leaving, but I love to see you walk away.
How did your son cock block you? Just having him
just
there?
Just for me, he was there. He's alive.
Is there anything better than on a Saturday morning a girl like that just throws on a ball cap and sweatpants and goes out to breakfast?
Oh, it's the
Isn't
best.
That the best thing
She's
ever?
She's got your T-shirt on and her nipples are coming through
that's
the T-shirt.
That's crazy. That's the sexiest shit in the world. Are you kidding?
It's her in your clothes.
I think we're into a porn area now.
It's not porn. It's just like
her nipples are poking through your shirt. You
it
know what
is
I mean.
A little something when your girl's wearing your shirt and like you see how your shirt fits you on your dumb man body, but then when you see it on a beautiful female figure, you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, my shirts are a nightgown.
This Miller Lite shirt looks way better.
Yeah,
that's like that Seinfeld episode where there's good naked and bad naked, and Jerry's having a problem with this woman walking around his apartment naked all the time,
fixing a bike.
But she's like
opening a jar of pickles.
And it's like, oh, that's bad naked. Yeah. And so Jerry tries to fight it with he's going to walk around naked, and Elaine goes, no. A woman's naked body is a work of art. A man's naked body is like a Jeep. It's for getting around. You don't ever want to be naked in front of your girl like that. Yeah.
And is anybody else hard
so
right
true.
Now?
Are any of you guys naked guys? I'm not a naked guy. I even post-coitus, I throw on underwear.
When I'm alone, I'm a very much a naked guy.
Yeah, I'm naked.
You'll get up and go to your kitchen naked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've gone so far as to open the, like if I've stayed at a hotel room, open the door and get the paper.
Naked?
Yeah. Okay. Just
about
yeah.
What time do you do that?
Oh, it's never in the morning. It's usually when I'm on the road, so it's usually
here's
noon.
What I've done.
That's why we call him Josh 500 feet from middle school. Arnold.
And here's the thing. I would be mortified if I was seen. Mortified.
Yeah.
I've done this here. I'll get up, I get up 4:30 in the morning. And every now and then there'll be a box from the night before on the front porch, and I have a porch light. So I get up and I let my dogs out, and then I'll see the box, and I'll turn the porch light out. and I'm naked.
Yeah.
And I open the front door and go out on the front porch and get the box and bring it back in. But I mean, it's, you know, it's, I mean, I kind of live in sort of a semi.
Somebody could see you.
Somebody could conceivably see me, but it would take a little work, especially with the porch light out.
And it's also unlikely they'll see you. But
it's unlikely.
Let me ask you, with your you have a big backyard, literally and figuratively.
That's right.
Well manicured.
If trust me, I know.
That's right.
Would you? I think I might find it refreshing if you had a lawn chair. Like, I don't have a set. I live in LA. I could never. But if I lived here, I would want to have a lawn chair and just take a shower, maybe get naked, and just lay out there in the sun. Just let the sun dry you like a lizard.
It's the best.
Like, would you ever do that?
I've had the luxury of doing that at a house that we rented when I worked for Rawlings Sporting Goods.
I would if it was a little bit more privacy fenced.
And yeah, and this was super private. Yeah, but everybody else was gone.
I definitely would, yeah.
And I swam naked in the pool and then just walrused around the... in a lawn chair, and it was the I was like, this is how it's supposed to be. Like, this is how people
would you guys
you
ever...
mean blacks and whites separated?
Just kidding. What he means is a definite separation between the classes. You have steerage, you have
I know, it just felt like it was like, no, I'm unencumbered. Exactly, I'm unencumbered by any sort
would you guys
construct.
Anybody, Vibbert, would you hang out? Would you go to a nudist colony and hang out and conduct commerce and go to the volleyball game and have dinner naked?
It depends on how old everyone is.
Let's say that's always the joke.
Let's say the age max is 35.
I mean, if they're all my age, I would do it in a second.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
see, that's cool. The thing,
I'm
though. I don't.
That's really cool. Yeah, yeah. That's really cool.
I'm comfortable with my body. I say enjoy the show.
Yeah.
See, I'm really? Not. Yeah. I am. I couldn't be more uncomfortable in my skin.
It's a well. I'll tell you this: when I went to Jamaica, I stayed at the Breezes Resort. I can say it. I don't give a shit. It's real.
It was lovely, right? Yeah.
I stayed at the Breezes Resort. I was taping a kids TV show down there, and
the temporary restraining order.
That's why I can never go back to Jamaica.
That's right.
Because of those four liars down there.
Damn kids. Filthy liars! How dare they judge me?
11, you're going to believe in 11 kids over me.
All right, Dan. Well, kiss my ass.
All right, Dan. But no, it's when I went down, you know, I'm walking around because hedonism is directly, not in a literal, like I could underhand toss a softball.
Right, right.
And you could catch it at hedonism.
And that's a big festival where they.
It's not a festival. It's a resort where people go.
Oh, it's year round?
Yeah, it's every day I'm hustling like Rick Ross. Every day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Every day, player.
But even on the and hedonism, we would go party at hedonism after we got off at like 8. Hedonism had this thing where you can stay in these rooms and there's a camera in your room. So when you're in, if you're in room 14, you could put your TV on room 12 and just watch what people in room 12 are doing.
That's a joke.
No, I was there. It happened.
Are you kidding
me? Listen, I'm going to say this because the Breezes Resort had a naked, the reason I brought this up, Breezes has a naked part. Because I went to the gym and I was walking around the complex and it was like, no cameras around this corner. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? I went around and everyone's naked. Anybody you know that goes to Jamaica more than once a year is a swinger, 100%. 1,000%. There is no effing reason you would go to Jamaica except if you are swinging. Everyone in Jamaica is swinging.
Everyone. Hot people at hedonism?
Hot people, not so hot people, but just like, I think they were more, they were a bunch of Jeff Vibberts. It's people that are comfortable in their own body.
So it was a good vibe.
It's super cool. People are having, people just standing at the bar, getting, because for a second you're like, oh, people are going to be looking at my balls and my tits are saggy. And then after a while you realize no one cares.
See, that's the thing.
No one cares.
Dean and I, our producer on the Bob and Tom Show, we went to the set of an adult film. Like, this is, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. And because I was joking about it on the air. It's one of those classic chick where wouldn't that be funny how it got out of hand and somebody called. And, yeah, let's. I wanted to be a bartender in adult cinema. Like, if the
sort
guy.
Sort of the Louise Guzman in Boogie Nights.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not going to be in on the action and I'm not near the action. I'm just going to, you know, the guy who's in on the action comes and gets in a drink and I go, is she fucking somebody else? You know, one of those and I'm cleaning the glasses.
How's the pussy?
That would be my catchphrase.
You know, Chick would still fuck that line up. He'd be like, how's the line?
Line? This is an outrage. I'll be in my trailer. So this guy calls, and sure enough, he, at the time, the incredibly, the amateur look adult cinema was just coming in, and it was a big deal, mm-hmm. where there's this disembodied voice off camera asking a girl,
How old are you? When was your first time?
Is this the first time you've been naked? And none of that's true.
You seem a little nervous. You okay?
You seem okay? Ugh. Is there anything I can do to, yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, is this your boyfriend? Will you, would you two mind doing it? You know, and
wow.
So Dina, Dina and I are standing off camera watching this naked, an attractive naked woman and her boyfriend, and bless his heart, the boyfriend, had trouble because Dean and I were there.
Of course, you sure? Hey,
can you imagine? Two goofballs from the radio, and we're just, you know, standing there. But I tell you that to tell you this, because you said, oh, somebody will stare at my balls. Sure enough, I mean, Dean and I are there. We're dressed, and the director is dressed, but the actors are naked. So we're standing, and they're, I don't know what they're doing, like lighting or something. I don't know, but we're standing with the naked woman with bottled waters. About, I don't know, 45, 50 minutes, an hour into this, going, yeah, so the Colts don't really look that good this year.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know what it is about human beings, but you really do start to, okay, this is my reality now. This is where I'm going to get
and
my mail.
Put, and put 10 years on that.
Yeah,
put
yeah,
10
exactly.
years on how you felt that day.
And you're just
numb.
You're numb, and it's normal, and this is what I'm going to do. This is how my life is now. This naked woman's always going to be here, and it's no thing.
It's almost like when you talk to people that shoot like rock shows and rap shows and interview, you know, somebody worked for Rolling Stones, and it's like, you interviewed a 19-year-old LL Cool J and you just had Kiss over for dinner. And they're like, yeah, Gene came over. He's a vegan now, so it's a bitch. And my wife complained.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know Gene? Yeah, I know him. Like, after a while, you just don't. It's not a big deal. It's just like, yeah, it's a porn star, but it's a person. You don't care.
Right.
One of my favorite memories was one of my movie buddies, Morty. He's 13 now. But when he was 7 or 8, he took a picture of his family. And at the time, I was engaged to his mom. So it was a picture of me and his mom and his dad and his sister. And we're all in this, you know, family picture. And it was his day. It was Morty's day at the school. So he had this picture put together in a big poster that said, you know, this is his family and all this. And he was hanging the picture up. He's like 7 or 8. And the teacher comes over and looks at the picture and goes, Morty, is that Chick McGee? And Morty goes, you know Chick? Like, he didn't, you know,
yeah,
I was just.
Right.
You're just Uncle Chick.
Technically, I'm Chicky. I mean, that's what he's always called me. And it was just the best. It was the best ever. It was really
awesome.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, normal is, depends on who you are.
Right. It's all relative, isn't it?
It is all relative. And
just after, I would say after 3 times of doing anything, you're numb to it. Like, if you stood on the NFL sideline for after the third time, you'd be used to it.
Yeah.
You know? You've seen, I mean, a trauma surgeon. Like, what have you seen about maybe
crawling
3 months?
Inside somebody's, you know,
you'd have to get comfortable with it.
Yeah, broken wrists.
Oh, that's
lives rely on you being comfortable with that.
Dead person, everything. You have to, you can get used to anything.
20 years ago, oh my God, 20 years ago, I had open heart surgery. And
Jesus.
Once again, I have never had a heart attack. I just have bad arteries. It's genetic, yada, yada. But the surgeon, because you have to sign all these forms before you go in, like because theoretically, I don't know where it is now, but at that time, you could, because they stop your heart and lungs and you go on the heart-lung machine. And so they can, everything stops so they can sew and stuff like that. So you have to sign this waiver, obviously, but in the waiver, it's if you start reading it, it goes, well, your vision might change, you might lose memories, your sense of smell might go away. I mean, this crazy stuff. And after the procedure, you're curious, and I go, well, how was it when I was on the heart lung? He goes, oh yeah, when we got done, I just kind of nudged your heart and it started right up again.
Yeah, that's
and that's. That's normal for this guy.
Right. That's how, like, to scientific.
That's
put
his normal.
Fingers on a human heart.
A human heart, just give it a nudge, and it starts beating again, and this guy's beating on. Okay, disconnect him from the machine. I'm going to... It's lunch, people. Are you? Yeah. I mean,
but people look at
it's
us.
Amazing.
And can't, I mean, Al, any given month, you publicly speak in front of collectively 10,000 people. You know, like
probably.
And that's the biggest fear in the world.
Yeah. Well, what's
isn't death number two?
Seinfeld said, "What is it? Speaking in front of people is the number one fear."
I think dying is number two,
and dying is number two. So Seinfeld said, if you're at a funeral, you're better off being dead than having to give the eulogy.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's true. You know, people, but that's our
it's gotten
normal.
Pretty normal for us. Yeah,
yeah.
You still get nervous?
Always.
I like it.
Yeah, it's if I stop. As corny as it sounds, if I stop getting nervous, I'll stop doing stand up.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if there could be eight people or literally 18,000. Same feeling.
It's always great to hear. I feel the same way, man.
Same feeling every time. I remember there's a group that CeeLo used to be in back when he first started hip hop. It's called the Goody Mob.
And CeeLo.
And there was a rapper in there, and he had a line in there that I always think about with my career, because I heard it when I was younger and it didn't really apply until now. But he said, "I still get stage fright from small towns to the big city nightlights, and it doesn't matter. I can be in Macon or I can be in Atlanta.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. I'm gonna." Piss my pants and go out there and have a good show.
Yeah, it's great.
Or try to.
Jeff, you get nervous?
Not anymore.
Are you kidding me?
Which is why I stopped, kind of. Yeah.
You stopped caring?
I stopped doing stand-up because I just stopped.
No, but I mean, do you think you kind of stopped caring?
I got in a rut because I was just doing the same MC, drive the comedian, and I was like, this is...
So
it was so much hassle to be able to do stand-up. And
it was
I was
more
doing
of the
other
stuff you didn't want to do.
I was getting more of a reward from doing Bob and Tom and Barstool and all that stuff. So I was like, yeah, and I didn't have time to write new stuff, and that's when it gets you both can probably vouch for this. Whenever you've just been doing the same thing forever, you need to do new stuff.
I mean, there might be something wrong. I don't mind doing a bit I've done for 5 years, if it works.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's working, I don't mind.
There are bits you're gonna have in your career that you love to. I used to have a bit. I don't do it anymore, but I used to love doing this bit about being lactose intolerant and almost having diarrhea in my car.
Why don't you do it anymore?
I did it on TV. Not that anybody...
I mean, yeah, but I get it.
I used to love... Because it was the one joke that early in my career was a guaranteed home run. And I remember, like, looking into the crowd and, like, literally there'd be older black guys that look like my dad, and they would literally be pounding the table.
Yeah.
Literally. So to make, like, old black men that look like my dad laugh,
yeah,
used to be so. But people loved that. I used to love. I was tired of doing it, but I would do it just to see people's reactions.
Yeah,
like, people loved that effing joke.
Yeah,
you know, it's a weird thing. Like, you're gonna have jokes, and you might even be tired of it. Like, what's your joke that you're just like? Not tired, but don't do the joke. But like,
no, God,
what
no,
you,
don't
what
do,
you
do
like,
the joke.
Like,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Please.
What's your signature, if you had to do one joke before they electrocuted you, what would you
do? Yeah, I mean, I can think of three or four that I would.
But they have you in the chair. You got one.
But you told me not to do it, so I don't want to do it.
Oh, but like, what's
is it the half-fat thing?
Maybe.
Yeah, just the title of it.
Yeah, maybe my bit about being half fat.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like it's I enjoy doing it because it makes people laugh. I still think it's funny, but I think it also sort of, it sort of defines me. It's like, look, I'm very self-conscious, but I'm also confident enough to talk about this.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of me.
It's like a duality.
Weird, like,
of,
yeah, yeah.
Definitely. That's cool. And that's where I think we're comics always are. We're always super confident and super lacking of confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And you can tell when a comic is overconfident because they stop being funny.
Man, you're not kidding.
Every comic that gets rich and they're like, I'm going to do a joke about me being on a dune buggy in Dubai with the Prince of Siam. It's like,
yeah.
A dude from Cincinnati is not going to really feel that bitch.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's what happens when comics get famous. Super famous, and you know, some comics have been able to avoid it, but not many. Is that you depart real life, and so you have these anecdotes that you think are hilarious and probably are in context, but like when you start talking, you're like, so Alec Baldwin's jet breaks down, we pull over in Minneapolis, We landed Prince's helipad. We hang out at prison. We're doing blow. We wake up.
Unbelievable.
Long story short, we end up Vegas like 10 hours later.
So, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
No.
Thank you, Topeka. Good night.
That's why I'm not a big fan of comedy about comedy, because it's you're only talking to the back of the room. You're not. Come on. I mean.
Yeah.
Don't you hate it when you wake up at 2 p.m. and you're stuck in your hotel room?
I don't think comics don't realize like how offensive that is.
Yeah, I know.
How do you guys do it every day? How do you go to work? It's like, because I love my kids. And
right.
Slug it
out. I can't stand children. Well, what a dick. What are you talking about?
You know what?
Most everybody here had to get
kids.
A babysitter.
Yeah, right. And they love their kids.
Yeah, what?
And maybe as somebody's first time out of the house since they've had a baby.
Exactly.
And now you're saying this shit.
I don't hate my kids. I hate your kids.
Yeah.
And them in my
that's
way.
That's what I tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we were talking about earlier, chick with the Randy Moss straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
Do your jokes, homie. Tell some jokes to the people, dog. Don't
be funny.
Don't get all big time. Like I know.
No, yeah, make them laugh.
I've lived in New York and L.A. I don't give a shit. Gives a fuck. Tell some jokes.
Aren't you? I am constantly amazed without revealing too much, and you can draw your own conclusions.
At the size
there
of my home. Member, listen. Like,
well, everyone, of
some
course.
People don't think I'm from this planet.
Aren't you? Hang on a second. Hang on. All right. Aren't you amazed at the comedians or the guys who are comedians? You know what I mean? And don't have a sense of humor.
So many.
There are so fucking many.
So many.
This has got,
honest
I think
to God.
This might now be considered trite, but the funniest people on Twitter are not comedians.
No.
Not at all.
God, no.
It's a weird thing. I don't know. I think a lot of people who get into comedy initially might be sad. I just loved it.
Same here.
But I think some people have issues and they get into it and they make, but then their issues become like, then they start talking about stuff they talked about with their therapist. I'm like, I don't want to hear that.
No.
That's not like Jim Gaffigan. He's just a
bored.
Like, yeah, it's like, dude, let's get into it.
Well, that's like the Lenny Bruce thing. I mean, obviously, you know, Trailblazer, whatever, the first one to not be, you know, hacky and all that, you know, and the Catskills and all that. But I mean, toward the end, he was reading his court transcripts.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. He like lost it at the
Are
end. Like
you
he was also addicted to heroin.
Sure.
Yes. Which has the clouder. Yeah.
Mescaline. And
I just can we talk about how I don't understand how people have performed on heroin or anything? Like I've been five drinks in, and I've been like, I have no business talking.
Yes. Yeah. No. No way.
I don't know how you guys do stand up. I honest to God don't know how you do that.
I don't. I still feel.
No, honestly.
That's honest, yeah.
Because everything I do, I am just the opposite of stand up. Whatever's happening, I react to. I don't have anything. I don't think
you're a
I
terrific
could,
improviser.
I don't think I could memorize.
I wouldn't say terrific, but keep on.
Oh, you would kill. You could. I guarantee. Let's say Greg Proops and those guys come through. And they invited you up on stage to do a few things.
Gosh.
You would absolutely hold your own.
Oh,
we're going to need a special guest.
Right.
Is that
right.
Chick McGee
that's
I see?
That's very kind.
No,
my
but
goodness.
You would.
But no, but because I was backstage with Jimmy Pardo one night, and I told him about a bit that a joke he does that I love. And he goes, oh, I don't do that anymore. I'll put it in tonight. And I was just blown away. I mean, it's like you could almost see in his brain, oh, it's a Rolodex. Here's my jokes I'm going to do tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this one out and put that one in. I was just blown away.
Well,
that's how
genius.
It is, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy's
crazy. Jimmy Pardo, I've done his podcast four times.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I did it, you know, you sit down like every other podcast, and then like after 2 minutes you sit up like, oh, this guy's really fast.
Oh, my
Jimmy
God.
Pardo is so quick. You're like, oh, I need to get my shit together. His brain works so quick. It's almost like if you're an athlete, like a tennis player, like going against like the thing that shoots the balls out at the highest level.
Yeah.
Like you can return it, but Jimmy's so quick, you need to, like, you don't want to slow him down. Like, he's incredible.
Well, yeah. You have to have been told that you're quick. You're really? One of the quickest guys that comes in.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
And just even hanging out with the analogies you come up with.
Well, and there's not a lot of, not that we don't love all the comedians that have ever been on the show and that I know, but I mean, there's not
nice
a lot of them.
Nice disclaimer there.
That
should have been a jingle that, like, you just drop in and editing.
I'm trying to compliment you, giant cock.
See, I can't take it because I'm a real comic.
No, but yeah, that's yeah, no, true. Me yeah, either. It's... No, I mean, there's not a lot of guys that come in for a couple weeks and be on the show. I mean.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're
thank you, brother.
Very yeah. fast.
I love you guys. I really have a great time here, man.
Yeah. It really does feel really good. I mean, it feels like a natural, you know, just
well, that's because
out.
My hand is in between your legs.
No, that feels great.
Okay.
I like that.
Can I tell you about TrueCar?
Let's
yes,
take please do.
Please.
TrueCar.com. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. You use TrueCar when you're buying a car. You can easily find the one you want, and TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. You ever stand in your driveway and you're cleaning your new car and your neighbor comes over? What'd you pay for that? Oh, really? Well, I got mine for no more of that. Once you register with TrueCar.com, you see real pricing on actual inventory, competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer, an actual vehicle on the TrueCar lot. Pricing you will see before going to a dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing. You enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. How about this? TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off the MSRP. And TrueCar shows their customer all of the available incentives before they arrive at the dealership. It's the truth. The TCDN, TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, over 13,000 TrueCar Certified Dealers nationwide. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar.com to enjoy a more confident car buying.
You know who hates TrueCar?
Experience. Who hates TrueCar?
Those sleazy salesmen. Like Eugene Levy in Vacation. They can't get away with it anymore.
Davenport. Where's Mr. Griswold's car?
Get Mr. Griswold's car back here. Get it back here.
What happened to his car? It didn't come in, sir. Oh, well, it didn't come in. That's the problem. That's TrueCar.com. Well, Al, this has been fun.
Oh, man. I had a great time.
That went by fast.
Yeah, very much so.
Al, you've got a show tomorrow in Indy?
I do. I'm in at Morty's tomorrow at 8 in the p.m.
Or I guess it'd be Thursday, May 11th.
May, right. Yeah.
When does
that.
This come out?
It'll May be out 11th. Tomorrow morning.
It'll be out,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So come out. If you're listening, come out and see me tomorrow. Come seize me.
It might indeed be the social event of the season. You might be you might see celebrities there. You might.
Some people say the Kentucky Derby is the summer kickoff. Nope. This is
Thursday night with L. Jackson.
I'd give any if I could find one of those big hats the ladies wear at the Derby.
His dick is just as big as those horses.
And if you can't make it tomorrow, no matter where you are, check out, go see Al. You're going to love the show. It's great.
AlJackson.com?
Al Jackson Live.
Al Jackson Live.
Yes, and Al Jackson IG on Instagram, Al Jackson on Twitter.
You got Al Jackson. That's right. You did get Al Jackson on Twitter. And Josh Arnold at That Josh Arnold on Twitter.
And all the social media is That Josh Arnold.
Who got the other Josh?
ThatJoshArnold.com. There's like a country singer named Josh Arnold.
Okay.
Let's say something else. A horrible woman is what I thought you were going.
Who's got more followers?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't checked.
You haven't checked to see the other person has your effing name?
No, I haven't. I have
You're
not.
You're such a weirdo. I love
well,
it.
Well, let's get...
And the Jeff Vibbert... Jeff Vibbert. Hey, there's vodka in my Diet Pepsi, okay? They call that something. The Cuba Libre? Is that close?
That's rum.
Chupacabra?
That's rum.
I think it is the Chupacabra.
It is the Chupacabra.
Well, I just typed in Josh Arnold, and you were the first to pop up.
It wasn't that 9 months ago. So...
Are you bragging? Is it?
I think he is. Well, yeah, he's becoming more popular.
At not with the me, Josh but, Arnold. Yeah, people like no, him. I'm not even seeing at Josh Arnold. <with me.
laughs> And the Jeff Vibbert on Twitter and Instagram, and Chick McGee one on Twitter, and that the Chick McGee on Instagram.
Chick, you're good at social media, man. You are. I'm okay. You post positive things.
You know
things
what?
You like.
I do. Yeah, and I try to stay away from anything controversial because I would be the guy. I know Marin and
Hispanics. You're trying to shit away from them.
Well, of course, because Marin engages all the time, and name drop
physically.
On Twitter. I mean, he will go at and I.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I have learned you can't. You just can't do it. And I'll see something that really like upsets me, and I just the most I had blocked 5,000 people or so.
Have you really?
At one point, no, but I unblocked everybody. I'm not saying if people are muted on my account, that is a great invention. I'm not saying yes or no that I've muted some people.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I can't, because I'm the guy that would, well, I'll drive over to his house. And, I mean, it used to be, not anymore. I'm full of the Buddha. You know that.
I like that.
Peace be with you.
That and ganja?
And I smoke, I honk up the hooch like... like I'm laying on naked in Jamaica. Look at that, putting a bow on this show. Thank you, Jeff.
That's what we needed.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you,
thank
Al.
You. Love you, man.
All right. The Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. Thanks. Tell everybody. Good night, everybody.
There's nothing like the thrill of a last-second victory. That buzzer beater from 20 feet out. The game-winning field goal that just makes it as the clock ticks down. That great limited-time deal on a new 2017 Volkswagen at the Volkswagen Model Year End Event. We need to make room for the 2018s, so this could be your last chance to get a great deal on select 2017 Volkswagen models. Visit your nearest Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. But hurry, because the clock is ticking and we can't call time out.
Virginia buries its dead. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe is talking about President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville over the weekend at a white supremacist rally.
Those remarks are dividing people. We cannot be dividing people.
Governor McAuliffe told CBS this morning he knows two of the three people who were killed that day.
I have lost three great citizens yesterday, Heather Heyer's funeral. Tomorrow we will have to put to rest Trooper Burke Bates, who had been part of my executive protection detail. And then on Saturday, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, who'd been my pilot. This breaks your heart.
Heather Heyer died when a car rammed a group of protesters. The two Virginia state troopers were killed while monitoring the rally when their helicopter went down. Prison visitations are off at a state facility or all state facilities in Florida, where they say they have credible intelligence indicating some sort of security threat. There are no details available yet. I'm Rita Foley.